Hello, I'm Barnett Gilmer, CEO of Gulf Breeze Recovery.
And I'm Kat Carley, I'm the admissions director at Gulf Breeze Recovery.
Today marks our fifth podcast in this series, and we'd like to talk about the program at Gulf Breeze Recovery and how it relates to the topics that we've been discussing. How we help people obviously to detox if that's what they need, and then to start showing them and help them to understand maybe the inside out nature of life, and maybe what's been contributing to the substance problem that they've had. And the first thing that we do at this facility is the detox portion of the program. Now, obviously, this portion is reserved for people who need it. Not everybody who comes in the program needs to be detoxed. Some get detoxed at the hospital. Some don't need it, but the overwhelming majority do. And the detox program is unique because it's very private. It's a 5-bed detox center that is somewhat secluded, if you will, from the rest of the building, a kind of separate wing of the building. We have nurses care 24/7. Each bed is a private bed, with widescreen television, just very comfortable accommodations. Nurses 24/7. And the beauty about it is that the maximum number of people that the nurses would have to care for would be 5, and so it's a lot of one-on-one care and attention. And then of course we have a medical director that basically prescribes each protocol for each individual, sees each individual. And it's just monitored on a case-by-case basis. So the bottom line to our detoxification program is to keep our guests comfortable. One of the things that we know is that when a person goes through the detoxification process, when they know they're being taken care of, when they know that people care about them, that their program, their whole program goes well. And so it's real important for us to make sure that we take care of our people and that they are comfortable. That's really can even start with the loving care that they get from our nursing staff. It goes all the way to, we know they're feeling bad, and if they're maybe have a craving for a certain type of food or whatever, we'll go get it for them. Just whatever we need to do to make that process the best that we can make it. After the detoxification program, a person then transfers out of the detoxification wing into the residential wing, which is in the same building. And then they start the residential program. And the first thing that they do when they start the residential program is they go into the neurofeedback, which Kat can explain.
Yeah, so the reason that we incorporate neurofeedback as a part of the program, primarily it's because it works. It's got really great peer-reviewed clinical studies that support it for treatment of addiction. UCLA did a study in 2005. And they had two groups of individuals that were struggling with addiction that they studied. In the first group, the people went through a treatment program, and they also did a neurofeedback program. The second group of people did the treatment program alone without neurofeedback. And when they followed up a year later, those that had neurofeedback had over a 30% reduction in relapse rate compared to those that did not. So that's the main reason that we incorporate it, is because it's highly effective. to kind of explain why it's effective, I want to back it up a little bit and talk about what addiction does to the brain. So when a person first starts using, takes that first drink or drug, as we talked about in prior episodes, there's typically a feeling of discomfort that precedes the using. And that feeling is different for everyone. For some, it's insecurity, wanting to fit in. For some, it's anxiety, depression, boredom, any number of things. But there's this feeling of discomfort. You take the drug, you take the drink, and you feel better. And through repeating that behavior, what happens is when you ingest the substance, the brain processes it in the reward center of the brain. The reward center of the brain absolutely lights up. It's this great reward for the brain. It's terrible for the rest of the body, but the brain just doesn't know it at that time. And so through repeated behavior, the brain actually begins to learn something. And what it learns is we have this uncomfortable feeling, take a drug. Uncomfortable feeling, take a drug. Uncomfortable feeling, take a drug. And every time you take a drug, you're rewarding the brain. Well, the brain is biologically designed to do whatever it can to get the reward. And so what it learns very quickly is every time there's an uncomfortable feeling, you reward it. So over time, we actually train our brain through addiction to prefer feelings of discomfort, to prefer feelings of anxiety, depression, boredom. Every time you have a big uncomfortable feeling, you reward the brain. And so when the drugs wear off, the brain then manifests another uncomfortable feeling. What neurofeedback is designed to do is to actually reward opposite brain activity. The way that the program works is you would sit down with a therapist who goes through an entire battery of questions about your background, about your history, about what you're currently experiencing, about challenges and growth areas that you'd like to work on through neurofeedback, and develops a protocol that is specifically designed individually for each person. You would walk down, sit down at a computer screen, listen to music through headphones, and look at images on the computer. So just shapes, pictures, music, and headphones. And then through an EEG machine, we're able to tell in real time how your brain is responding to that audio and visual stimulation. And there are actual measurable brain activity. We can measure when your brain is feeling anxious, panicky, fearful, when there's a craving, when there's anger. That's something that we can tell through monitoring an EEG. And there's also measurable brain activity that's associated with things like feelings of being at peace, feelings of well-being, feelings of calm, feelings that everything is okay. And what the neurofeedback program is designed to do is pick up on those calm, peaceful, healthy brain waves and reward them with things like images and music notes in real time. So after some repeated sessions, the brain actually learns to prefer to be calm and at peace. When our guests start the neurofeedback program, they choose three growth areas to work on. And what we find is that most of our guests have so much improvement on those growth areas that they pick new growth areas as the program goes on. They'll do 12 sessions of neurofeedback, 1 hour sessions, in their first week, because that's what has been proven to be most effective. And then from there on out, they continue at 2 sessions a week until they graduate. Some of the benefits that we see on site at the facility from neurofeedback is it helps people to be calmer, less anxious, helps them sleep better through the night. They report fewer using dreams and nightmares. It helps those that are quick to anger. It's also gotten documented results to treat things like ADHD, obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD and trauma disorders, really anything involving the brain, because it responds to your brain in real time. It rewards the brain activity that is working for you, that is making you feel better, that is making you feel at peace. And in this way, we really start on a fundamental brain level, this process of recovery. And then that leads us into our next part of the program, which is the physical health recovery. It is really a time that's dedicated to focus on the body. We've just spent a week really focusing in very heavily on the mind, on the brain chemistry, on how we reward different neurological behaviors. We spend a great deal of time in the program through counseling and coursework on mental health, And we don't want to leave the body behind. It's a really important, integral part of this holistic treatment model. And so we do have a dedicated portion of the program specifically dedicated to the body and bringing that along with the whole, with the mind, with the brain, with the spirit, all of it. And so in the physical health recovery portion of the program, we have a dedicated time for physical exercise. We incorporate sauna and spa therapies that are all medically monitored to really accelerate that deeper level of detox. We focus on nutritious meals and nutritional education. On the medical side, at this time, they'll be working on getting the person sleeping through the night healthy without the use of extra sleep aids. We'll be tapering off that sort of medication. And really the main goal of this part of the program is that what we're doing, what we're educating people on as time goes on, is their feelings and how their thinking is playing a role in creating their feelings. The difference between a thought and a feeling is that feelings are felt in the body. When we feel anxiety, it can present as a fluttering in the chest, a tightness, a knot in the stomach. Different feelings are felt in different places in the body. And so in order to become really attuned and really aware to what your feelings are and how you're experiencing it, and when something is taking you off of that baseline of calm and peaceful, we really have to have a baseline for what does my body feel like when it's healthy and I'm caring for it. It's really, really difficult to ascertain where I am in my feeling state if I don't know what normal feels like. And so this is a time that we really set aside in the program for guests to focus on their physical body. How do I care for myself? How do I prioritize my physical health with behaviors, not just saying something, oh yeah, physical health is important. No, we set aside time to really make it important. And it really sets the stage for people to be able to be physically comfortable and receptive to what's gonna happen in the later parts of the program. One example that I like is, you know, imagine that you're standing in the most beautiful landscape, looking at the most beautiful sunset, but you've got a rock in your shoe. The only thing that you can focus on in that moment is the rock in your shoe. The physical discomfort has to be addressed before we're able to be open and receptive to other things. And so that's why we really make it a point to set aside this time in the program for the physical body. And that's a 2-week process. We set aside time from 8:30 in the morning to 12 o'clock in the afternoon for the second and third week that our guests are in the program. To focus on this. And then from that point out, they go into morning classes where we really get into kind of the meat and potatoes of the program. And I'll let Barnett talk about that because I've been talking for too long.
No, it was great. Beautiful. The next portion, we call it, the mental health recovery part of the program. And I'll say that when the idea of opening a treatment center came about, one of the big things that I noticed was that people who got better typically did so through at that time what I called aha moments, insights. And and that just came about from speaking to people at treatment centers that I worked at, that kind of thing. And the treatment center had nothing to do, the program was not an insight-based program, but a person just happened to have an insight while being there. And they seemed to do really well. And so when this idea came about, I wanted to have a program that was insight-based, that where a person could see for themselves, what really led, to the substance use and abuse. But obviously, more than that is that, what can take them out of the need to use substances. And, one of the things, that I noticed was that, they would get a lot of good advice. You could hear the advice being given, and there's nothing wrong with good advice. But it wasn't something that you could see a person really take home with them. That what they really took home with them was these small bursts of insights for some large bursts of insights. and that was portable. You know, that was something they took home with them. That was something that they remembered. That was something that came from within, okay? And so it was real to them. And so that's what we started searching for. And so we did find it in, you know, what we call the principles of total health recovery. And, you know, basically what we're doing and what we're trying to help people to see is that inside out nature of our experience. Okay. As we've talked about several times before, you know, we talk about our conditioning of outside in nature and how that creates the fertile soil for addiction. And so what we're trying to do is make that ground fallow, you know, for addiction to take hold. Because a true understanding of the inside out nature of our experience, what that does is that helps to eliminate, you know, the substitution problem that people often experience, you know, when they leave, you know, treatment, you know, traditional treatment or, you know, any treatment center. You know, just that natural tendency to go from one thing to another. And it doesn't even have to be substances, you know, it could be, you know, sex, gambling, you know, whatever. But so yeah, as Kat had mentioned earlier, that, you know, the morning classes are the meat and potatoes, you know, of the program, okay? That we're getting into the principles of health realization, helping people to see and to understand, you know, the true, you know, inside out nature of our experiences. Helping people to kind of understand, you know, levels of awareness and how they will rise, and but they'll also fall, you know, depending on our mood states. And of course, you know, when we're in low mood states, you know, to we don't make decisions at that time. But just an array of things to help people to see for themselves, okay. Maybe why they made that decision in the first place, you know, to pick up, you know, the drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be. And then, of course, also to help them see for themselves, you know, that maybe drugs and alcohol doesn't make sense anymore. That, you know, I have this innate happiness. Okay, I have this innate baseline, if you will, of being healthy, you know, in mental health, to be calm, to be peaceful, that I have everything. And you know, we offer yoga, you know, meditation, you know, stuff that can help a person to quieten their mind, okay? Because for a lot of us, you know, we've got this spinning mind that's just constantly, you know, thinking, this hamster wheel, if you will. And so we're trying to help people to see that they can slow this hamster wheel down, that they can get back to a calm state. One of the differences is that we also try to help people to understand that really in the long run, it's not the yoga and it's not so much the meditation as it is just, you know, an occurrence, if you will, for the mind to be able to quieten down. But that people have the ability to do that on their own, okay, at any given time. That we don't have to take our thoughts so seriously. You know, we're not our thoughts. We don't have to take our thinking so seriously. And so the whole program is really designed around that and designed to help a person to have their own insight. And I just cannot express how important it is for a person to see that for themselves, Because once they do, it's real to them. It's 100% real. And it can never be taken away. You know, it is portable. Anything you have to add on that, Kat?
Yeah, the value of insight is huge. And it's such a little word. And, you know, I always try to find a way to express just how important it is. Because when we can give someone a list of instructions, a list of things to do, a list of do's and don'ts, typically folks that have experienced addiction have already had those types of instructions and suggestions, and they're not helpful because they don't really see from an, you know, they're not understanding how it's going to be helpful or that it's going to be helpful. And so it doesn't make sense for them to keep doing those things. The power of an insight is like, you know, zooming in on one of those oil paintings that only you can only make sense from far away. When you're all zoomed in, you can only see little splotches of paint, right? It doesn't make any sense at all. Having an insight is like being able to step back and zoom out and seeing a little bit more of the picture. It starts to make sense to you. And that doesn't mean that you won't get close again, but you never forget what you saw. You know, you always have that, it makes sense now. And that power of insight, the great thing about it is that it doesn't stop. It's continuous. There's always further to zoom out. There's always more of the picture to see. And once I can see it for myself, it makes sense in a way that is so much more profound than anyone else explaining it to me. I mean, there's just no substitute for an insight. It's absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, another part of the program that we have, you know, is what we call it reflection. Mm-hmm. And it's where our guest, you know, can, you know, reflect, you know, read, you know, books about the program, you know, that kind of thing. You know, just have some quiet time. You know, and in between classes, we offer free time. And of course, we encourage people to be with themselves, because we're wanting to help people to see that it's okay to be with themselves. It's okay, you know, to be bored, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pretty inundated nowadays, you know, with our electronics, you know, whether it be phone or whatever. And we're always doing something, you know, the doingness. And, you know, maybe get bored, I'm going to look on, you know, social media or text a buddy or whatever. Seldom do we have time just to be with ourselves. And for some of us, a lot of us, we don't like spending time with just ourselves. You know, we have that, you know, that boredom, if you will. And so we want people to see that it's okay to just to be with themselves and to be comfortable, if you will, in their own skin.
Yeah, what we see a lot is folks that that have this deep fear that if they really get to know what's there at the core of their being, that they'll find someone that is unworthy and unlikable and lacking in some way. And that is just never the truth. That is never the case. And you're not able to see yourself in your full resilience with all of this innate health and this innate value that you were born with, unless you have the occasion to sit and become acquainted with yourself. You know, we're always trying to dodge and stay busy and keep moving so we don't have to sit and experience our own thinking, our own feelings, our own presence. But what we see at the center is that when we really structure time for people to sit and become accompanied, become acquainted rather, with themselves, that they're pleasantly surprised that what's underneath all of the drugs and all of the alcohol and all of the acting out and all the behaviors and all the dodging and all the trying to stay busy and all the trying to stay distracted, that what is underneath all of that is a person who is innately valuable, innately worthy, innately healthy, and that it's someone worth protecting and worth taking care of, and that it's okay to sit with yourself. I used to always mistake the, I use the word boredom a lot. I hate being bored. I want to stay busy. But what I thought was boredom was in fact this real discomfort with self. And when a person becomes comfortable just being in a space alone with no other distraction, then boredom loses the power as a trigger to use. It doesn't exist if you're comfortable with self. And so I think that's really important, and one of my favorite parts about the program actually is this structured time to become reacquainted with yourself. I could go on and on about this, but people spend so much time running from themselves that they lose who they are. They don't even know themselves when they come to the center. We hear so many guests that graduate that talk about learning who they are for the first time in a long time, you know, what kind of music they like, how they like to dress, how they like to speak, how they like to spend their time. They've never even stopped and gotten quiet for long enough to assess those things, away from the influences of drugs and alcohol, away from the influences of other people. Who am I? You know, what does it feel like when I'm just sitting with myself? It's like developing this relationship for the first time, and it's really beautiful to watch, and it's a really important part of the recovery process in our program.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, that's one of the reasons that this is not a traditional 4-week program. You know, we can't do all that in 4 weeks. No one can. It takes time. It takes time to get reacquainted with yourself, to for a person to really start to see, you know, who they really are. And it's a process. But, you know, it's so worth it, you know, for just a few more weeks of a person's time to really get a glimpse, you know, of who they are and what's been driving them. You know, and I'm not talking about the superficial. I'm talking about, you know, deep within what's really been the driver. It's a process, but, you know, like I said before, one well worth doing. But yeah, the next phase of the program, you know, is our aftercare. You know, a person, you know, they work with a therapist, they have a blueprint for success. And they leave, and of course before they leave, they're set up with an aftercare counselor. You know, we sometimes will call it continuing education, but you know, they're set up with somebody so that they can bounce things off of, because it's really important that you know, what usually happens when a person goes out. The first thing that would happen is that there may be a relapse in thinking, okay? Wanting to go back to the conditioned way that a person has, you know, the belief system, if you will, in the outside-in nature of life. And it happens really slowly, really slowly. But they may have a relapse in their thinking. And so what we want to do is to help gently point a person back to themselves. And it's important that they do that, because it's so subtle. They, you know, for the most part, we don't even know it's happening. But to have somebody from the outside gently remind us, you know, hey, you know, let's think about what you're doing here, you know, what you're saying, what you're thinking about. But to point them back to themselves. Because, you know, what we don't want to have happen is, you know, obviously relapse in thinking, and that leads to a relapse. And so, you know, the continuing education, the aftercare, you know, is an important part. You know, we set people up with an aftercare counselor, and then we also have what we call Zoom meetings that are every Monday. And then, of course, we have a private Facebook page that, you know, people can post things and get responses for them. And but, you know, they're always encouraged, you know, to pick the phone up. You know, if people are struggling, please pick the phone up, you know, and call us. Because, you know, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And in addition to the Zoom meetings and the one-on-one aftercare support, we also have a meeting that meets locally every Tuesday and also a meditation group every Wednesday. So there are three opportunities every week to meet in a group setting in addition to setting up one-on-one with an aftercare. So we really make it flexible so that the person can have as much support as they need if they're needing that extra support. If they're feeling like they're slipping, if they're feeling a little bit on shaky ground, it's just that transitional phase between the safety of 24-hour structured care to transitioning back into their lives where, you know, if they reach out, then they've got somebody to grab a hold of and kind of point them back to themselves, back to their wisdom, back to their experience, to kind of help them make that transition and stand on their own feet a little bit.
You know, the program has been designed, and over the years, you know, we've always had that mindset of improvement, you know, just constant improvement. And, you know, that's where the neurofeedback came from, is that we felt like we needed to help people to kind of, you know, slow themselves down a little bit and help them with sleep patterns, that kind of thing. And we found, you know, neurofeedback. We did the research on it, and we liked what we saw on the research. And so we incorporated that in the program. And it's always a continuous growth. You know, we incorporated EMDR, you know, for people who have, you know, suffered through trauma. You know, and the one thing about trauma is that, you know, typically it keeps a person stuck, if you will. And so, you know, we incorporate that just to help free them up so that they can move beyond the trauma and see that, you know, they're so much more than their trauma. And so all these little things that we just continue to add, you know, is part of our ongoing improvement process. You know, we're licensed by the Florida Department of Children and Families, and, you know, our audits, you know, we've always been in the, typically the mid-90s. Our last audit with them, we were 99.6 or 7, something like that, but really high. And so with this, you know, ongoing improvement, we felt like that we needed to maybe take it up just a notch. And so we became Gold Seal certified by the Joint Commission. And, you know, that's been the latest, if you will, part of our evolution, you know, of growth. But, you know, it's a continuous thing. And, you know, just really proud to be able to do that, and it shows obviously with our guests and you know, how successful they are when they leave. And you know, it's been a program that has really exceeded, you know, my expectations, and you know, we want to continue to exceed the expectations.
The program itself is, it's so different than anything else out there. You know, even in the realm of non-12-step programs, there's something prescriptive to most programs. There's a doingness. There's a necessity to stay busy, a necessity to do the next thing, to do the next thing, to do the next thing. And this is the first thing that I had ever come across that really got to the underlying root cause. What was behind the doingness? You know, what was behind my addiction in the first place? What was driving all of that? And once that root cause was addressed, there's no doingness or not doingness that needed to take place. You know, I think I talked about this in prior episodes. You know, I work at the facility now, but I also went through the facility as someone struggling with addiction. And the understanding that I gained from the program has allowed me to be more loving in my relationships, more productive in, you know, my personal and work life, more calm and peaceful through trials and tribulations that just happen in everyday life, because that's life, right? And, you know, first and foremost, to be substance free, but it's amazing because that just seems like, of course I'm substance free. It doesn't make any sense to use substances anymore. It's all these other ways that it's enriched my life that make, you know, using would just really suck the fun out of life, you know? It would just take away from how much greater things are experientially when you're living life with this inside out understanding. I mean, I think that's really the value of the program, is it doesn't put a Band-Aid on the seeming problem of addiction. It sees addiction as the solution to an underlying problem, and it provides a better solution. So what's underlying the addiction is no longer causing the person to suffer.
So, you know, the real purpose of this program, the bottom line, is that we want people to leave, you know, substance-free, joyful, happy, and, you know, not white-knuckling their way through life, and to understand that, you know, drugs and alcohol no longer make sense. And so, you know, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today.
Till next time.
Thank you.